From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. When I was in kindergarten, and this was like in the mid-1960s, they gave us sugar cubes.
Yeah.
For polio. And I was like, ooh, a sugar cube before lunch?
Well, there's pictures from that time of people lining their kids up, like huge lines to get the sugar cube, right? It's really not that way anymore. But oftentimes the schools were convenient places just to give out the vaccine because that's where all the kids were, you know? And you could just sort of line people up, give them a sugar cube, bam.
That's WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt. In all 50 states, children have to be vaccinated to go to school unless they get an exemption. New Jersey has seen a rise in exemptions in the past 5 years. They've also seen more outbreaks of the measles. Why could those exemptions be threatening the model we've been using to keep disease at bay? And why do kids have to be vaccinated to go to school in the first place? Today on The Why, shots required. So, Avi, how did this start? When did vaccination become a requirement to attend school anyway?
So there's a little secret in the education world, which is like every single story somehow starts in Massachusetts. So the story starts in Massachusetts, which is the first state to mandate school attendance in the 1850s. And shortly thereafter, they say you have to have the smallpox vaccination to come to school, which is sort of the first great vaccine, the smallpox vaccine. Right. The idea is just logical. So I talked with James Colgrove.
I'm a professor of public health at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health.
And he said, basically, look, this is a disease, smallpox, that would often spread among children.
Yeah.
And when you start to put more and more kids together in the same place, it's a natural response to say, well, we're going to require these kids to be vaccinated. And we are doing this because we don't want to see outbreaks of contagious diseases in our schools.
So Massachusetts says, we're making kids come to school now. Let's make sure they all have the vaccine if they're going to show up.
So did people accept it right away?
No, is the short answer. Not at all. Basically, it took a long time for people to suss out the question of whether this was legal, whether a government body could mandate someone get a vaccine. And so there's 50 years of back and forth on this. And eventually, in the beginning of the 20th century, 1905, there's this big Supreme Court case that basically decides the issue.
It took that long.
Huh? It took that long.
Wow.
And the case revolves around this Swedish immigrant and Lutheran minister named Henning Jacobson, who was living in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There was a smallpox outbreak in Cambridge. And again, somehow we're still in Massachusetts. The town actually said everyone needs to get a smallpox vaccine. So not a school, but a town.
The vaccinator came to his house and said, we're here to vaccinate you and your family, and he refused. And they fined him $5.
That was enough for him to say, I'm getting a lawyer. And the case works itself up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court basically says, you can, for the good of the whole, make people get a vaccine.
The ruling said basically that freedom is not absolute and that there are legitimate constraints that the government can impose on people. And so the rationale was really that people who don't want to be vaccinated can present a danger to the community.
And that sets the precedent. The Supreme Court gives government the authority to say, hey, you've got to get a vaccine.
So how long did it take before states started to fully mandate? Because you said that was a weird lag time in all of this.
Yeah, so basically in the 60s and 70s, and this is an era of sort of general like expansion of governmental authority, that a lot of states start to fold in laws that mandate lots of vaccines, including measles, mumps, rubella, polio, all the big ones. And the laws start to go in the books. They aren't really enforced initially.
What finally pushed things over the edge?
So there's a couple of events. There are measles outbreaks in Alaska and in California in the 1970s. Alaska's the first one. And I talked with the guy who was the state epidemiologist at the time, a guy named John Madaw.
We identified out of about 100,000 students in the state, there were about 30,000 that were missing some of the vaccines.
Some sort of bold public health officials say, like, why don't we actually try to enforce this law and see if kids actually have their vaccines? And if they don't, they can't come to school.
And the first comment was that, well, you'll never be able to do that. And I said, why not? And he said, well, people won't support enforcing that. And I said, I think they will here in Alaska.
And they do it, and they turn thousands of kids away initially, and then, I don't know, the kids just get the vaccines, you know? It was pretty much a success. And public health officials, I think, realized around this time, like, not only should we do this, but we can do this. We can kind of enforce this law and give it some real teeth. And things sort of pick up from there. By 1980, all 50 states have laws around vaccination and school attendance. If you want to go to school, you have got to get your kids some vaccines.
But now, 40 years later, we're seeing outbreaks of diseases we didn't think we had to worry about anymore. This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to Avi Wolfman-Arendt about how vaccines became a requirement for kids to go to school. Rita Giordano from the Philadelphia Inquirer has been reporting on school vaccinations in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. She joins Avi and me now.
Rita, Rita Giordano, it's been a month of Sunday.
Yes.
How have you been?
I'm very good. It's wonderful to see you again.
I know, it's been a while.
Yes.
So, why are we still having these outbreaks of things like measles if all 50 states have vaccination laws?
Well, all 56 have vaccination laws, but they also have medical exemptions. On a more voluntary basis is the issue of religious and, in some cases, philosophical exemptions. There's about 45 states now, maybe a little bit more, but I believe 45 states that have religious exemptions. New Jersey and Pennsylvania are among them. And then there are about 15 states that have philosophical exemptions, and Pennsylvania is one of those.
Is there a danger that you'll get sick if you have an exemption?
Absolutely. I mean, just this year alone so far, there's 18 cases in the state of New Jersey. There's 13 cases in the state of Pennsylvania. That doesn't sound like a lot, but in previous years, there was almost none or none. In medicine, there's a concept called herd immunity. It means that there's a certain percentage of the people around you that are immune, that have been vaccinated. And if that stays up to a certain level, the likelihood is that you wouldn't get it. But even if even a small number of people don't get vaccinated, it doesn't take long for that level to go down and to make it more likely for people who aren't vaccinated to get infected.
Rita, in your story, you recently reported that New Jersey has seen a rise in these exemptions, right?
Right. Just last week, the New Jersey Hospitals Association released a report that they did that looked at purely religious exemptions in the state, and they found that there was a 53% increase in the religious exemptions taken in New Jersey.
I think something to add here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rita, but you know, we're talking about vaccination rates on a state level, but often the way like exemptions are clustered matters, right? So you might have an overall pretty high vaccination rate in a state, but if all the people who are exempting their children from the vaccination are living in the same geographic areas, you can lose herd immunity in spots, right?
Yes. And for example, last year in New Jersey, you had, forgive me for not knowing the exact number, I believe it's 33 cases in the whole year. And many of those cases happened in Ocean County, New Jersey, around the community of Lakewood. Basically, it didn't take long for the disease to spread.
Why are we seeing a rise in these exemptions? Is it because people are becoming more religiously opposed?
Well, actually, part of the reason is, in all honesty, we are fortunate to live in a world where we have lots of access to information. What we're seeing are some of the folks who are the most anti-vaccine is they are largely people with college education, people who are middle class or upper middle class, who, you know, have access to information and feel confident in their own judgment. There's information that has been disseminated. Frankly, most of it has been refuted in established medical circles, but there is some information or theories that certain vaccines can lead to certain health problems. One of the more frequent ones that have a following is the belief that vaccines can lead to autism. And when you put all that together and you have all that information getting out there, people will feel like they have a right to exercise those exemptions that are available to them by law.
So just because you're skeptical about what's going on doesn't mean that you're religiously opposed. So how does the religious opposition come in?
You can make a religious exemption request based on loose conviction. It can be a personal belief. So, for example, there's a form in the state of Pennsylvania where there's one line for the religious exemption, and it just says, state your reason for requesting this exemption, and you wouldn't have very long to make a case anyway. It's only one line. You don't have to have a clergy person or a religious leader to attest to this. You don't have to prove that it's a tenet of your faith. In fact, most of the mainstream religions don't have any, in this country, have no objection to vaccines. If anything, they support it.
Okay, so this brings up this obvious question. Why have these exemptions in the first place? If you can have a philosophical exemption, doesn't that kind of undo all that work that happened in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is what you've always seen. There is a push and pull. Public health officials want everyone to be vaccinated, but they are worried about coming down too hard and mandating too much and triggering a backlash. You can see that a little bit in the moment we have right now.
Right. I was going to say this feels like a backlash to me.
We saw this in California.
Governor Jerry Brown has just signed a bill that imposes one of the nation's strictest school vaccination laws in the country. The measure was prompted by a measles outbreak at Disneyland back in December that sickened more than 100 people.
It did trigger a public outcry and backlash. We're seeing another test case now in New York. There was a measles outbreak in New York State.
This is a drastic move for what officials are calling a drastic situation. 300 cases of measles in New York City.
They have tried to rein in the exemptions. And again, there's fear that that's just going to anger people. So from the beginning of this entire conversation, way back to the 19th century, there's always been a question from public health officials, how much is too much? And we're still living in that moment now.
I agree. And one of the things that you're seeing now, for example, in our state and other states as well, but in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, is there are pending bills. They haven't been passed, but there's pending bills that are trying to push back on the exemptions, right? In the case of the New Jersey bill, the Burlington County legislator, who is one of the prime sponsors, one of his hearings was extremely heated, and that is putting it mildly. Parents who did not appreciate having that, what they considered to be their right, taken from them.
It's shocking to me that two generations after my ancestors immigrated, my rights as a citizen to practice my religion and my faith are in jeopardy.
Religious freedom includes the right to not have a religion forced upon you, and that includes the religion of science. I ask you to please vote no on the bill today. Thank you.
You know, we live in a country with a Bill of Rights, and religious freedom is one of those rights.
Well, Rita and Avi, thanks so much for coming in and shedding light on all of this. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Avi Wolfman Arendt is a reporter for WHYY. Rita Giordano is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Xavier Lopez, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Thanks to NJTV News for audio. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.